Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 20, the verses 1 through 23. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 20, the first 23 verses. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he might rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it has been morning, and now it has become evening of the special Lord's Day, what in a special way we may remember the resurrection of thy dear Son. And then we have heard out of thy word that there were those that have received a visit from thee during the day. Thou hast made room for that visit. They could tell of that visit. Has left the fruits behind. Then we have heard of a weeping Mary. And thou hast a people upon the earth that can identify with that Mary. And when they are asked, why weepest thou? Because they know what it is to weep about their sins, about that missing, a weeping concerning the things of the Lord, also times a weeping of joy, and then also concerning that question, whom seekest thou? Ah, Lord, then thou hast a people that may be enabled by grace to say with the Mary that they are seeking the Lord, and when thou leadest further, that they are seeking Jesus. But then there was still a church gathered together. They have heard wonderful things concerning the resurrected Savior, but there was still a church gathered that have not received a visit. And now thou knowest in this evening hour how it is with each soul, how it has been on this day. And then we read that thou wast stood in their midst, ah, Lord. Wilt thou so dwell amongst us in this evening hour? And when thou dwellest amongst the people, then it shall be experienced, then it shall be seen, then there shall be that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, the forsaking of sin and of the world, a following hard after thee, seeking thee early, a trying to please thee, asking for reconciliation. And when thou dwelleth in the midst of a people, then false foundation shall be uncovered, and then souls shall be led to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God as the way to the Father. Then thy children shall be led and exercised further with the mysteries of salvation, and then the praises shall ascend unto thee for thy wonderful works. Oh, the psalmist has declared, oh, that men would praise thee for thy goodness and for thy wonderful works to the children of men. When thou dwelleth amongst the people, then it shall be evident by the fruits, and then it shall arouse to a holy jealousy. When thou dwellest amongst the people, then the prayer shall be multiplied for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. When thou dwellest amongst the people, then it shall be as we have heard, that the disciples were glad, and then thou hast shown them the pierced hands and feet, and also the pierced side. And then the disciples were given to rejoice. Then the disciples were instructed. Our Lord, dwell then richly amongst us in this evening hour by thy Holy Spirit, and especially when there have come up souls where the day is already far spent, and that have begged fervently of thee that thou would appear unto them. Oh, that thou would only speak unto them one word, that they may receive a smile from heaven. Wilt thou then be a surprising God, as thou hast been for thy church on the day of thy resurrection? Thou wast promised to uphold and to never forsake the work of thy hands. We live in serious and solemn times. So it was also on the day of resurrection, where the Jews, the chosen people of the Lord, where they have crucified the Prince of Glory with such a heavenly high debt. But then thy abounding mercy, oh, that thy dear Son, as the greater Joseph, with that vehement desire to reveal himself unto his children, ah, Lord, then do it in this evening hour. Then it shall be a special service and an unforgettable service. May it so please thee to grant a few simple words to speak. Anoint with fresh oil from above, and do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart. Oh, may there be those yearning, those thirsting and hungering souls that is thy work, thirsting for righteousness. Lord, wilt thou so bless thy word amongst us in the family dwellings, in the church, and then in the past week, another catechism season has come to an end. In the past season, thou wast spared instructors and students. There have been other years where it was so different. And those empty places, they remain so empty in the family circles, in the school, in the church. May thou yet be the after preacher what they have heard, that it may continually be imprinted upon their young hearts, that one thing needful, the royal command, to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Do bless the instruction granted in our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Help the instructors, the school board, the administration. It all awaits for thy blessing. And so we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. The established church is our theological school, the persecuted church, the Jewish people. Remember the nations at war, where it is also a warfare for the nations that still have thy word to a certain extent in their midst, and for the nations that are such enemies, bitter enemies, of thee and of thy dear Son, where there is no love but hatred. And to that end, wilt thou also remember and help the United States of America, that all their ways may prosper, give a bowing of the knees and an opening of thy holy word, and that the nation of Israel, under trying circumstances, that they may be given to turn unto thee, that the veil may be removed, that they may be given to experience experientially that the Messiah has come, that he sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering Jew and Gentile. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, the people in Bolivia, the labors, the people in Peru. May your heart be inclined to labor among them. We commend unto thee all Bible translators. Bless thy word that may be sent into the prisons, that it may be used for true conversions. O Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Continue to provide for our daily bread. Wilt thou remember all the mourning, all the elderly, our Bethesda, the residents and those that care for them, the elderly ones, that may still go in and out. And do remember the sick and afflicted ones, the handicapped daughter, those undergoing treatments, grave concerns and many fears, grant a place at thy footstool. May the callings be sanctified, and Lord, do impress it upon the hearts of young and old, that we all carry about that deadly disease, and that is sin, for it is written that the wages of sin is death, but it is also recorded that the gift of God is eternal Christ through Jesus, eternal life through Jesus Christ, O Lord. That only name may still be proclaimed amongst us and our children. Remember burdens and crosses, those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of mind, with those that are near and dear unto them, those that struggle with temptations and addictions, May we be given to remember one another at the throne of grace and Lord. May it be all thy goodness, but also the trials that may be used in thy hand by thy Spirit for the coming of thy kingdom. And now in this evening hour, may our eyes be upon thee, O Lord. It is written in thy holy word that thou shalt gather thy church by the foolishness of preaching. Thou only needeth one word, when it may be applied by power divine. May that take place in this evening hour, for our boys and for our girls, for our youth, the middle-aged, the younger middle-aged, the older middle-aged, and for the elderly ones. Impress upon our hearts the seriousness and the shortness of time. Wilt thou then watch over us in this evening hour, in the service it needs to be impressed upon our hearts and mind, that we do not only need to be watched over to and fro from thy house, but also in thy house. May it please thee to grant a little rest, and, O Lord, what that gathered church has experienced, may there be a little tasted thereof. The apostle has written to the church that thou art able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think, and that for poor sinners, Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold. May it be more felt, more confessed, more tears. May we be given to plead upon thy mercy, which is in thy dear Son, who was resurrected from the dead. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 210, the stanzas 2, 3, and 5. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and sleepless, speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. And what follows? Psalter 210, the stanzas 2, 3, and 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 20, the verses 19, 20, and 21. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ's evening visit to his church on the resurrection day. Four thoughts. First, to a fearful church. Secondly, in a surprising manner. Thirdly, with comforting words. And in the fourth place, with the divine commission. A Jesus Christ evening visit to his church on the resurrection day. To a fearful church, in a surprising manner, with comforting words, and with the divine commission. Beloved congregation, we read in our text, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. There the church was gathered together. We read in Luke 24, and with them that were gathered with them. Thus that speaks not only of the disciples, but a church that was gathered with those disciples. Mark 16, we read of the 11, but when Jesus has appeared, then boys and girls, there was an empty place in church. And I hope that shall never be your place, because the Lord has promised to dwell in his house, promised to work by word and by spirit. On the other hand, may you receive the grace that a Thomas had. Because Thomas has received a new heart, and Thomas had its character, easily discouraged and depressed, he could see it no more, and he went to his home. But there Thomas did not receive the blessing, the words, and the instruction that the rest of that church has received. And now in that upper room, very well possible, the same room where Christ has held the Passover with his disciples, where the Lord's Supper was instituted, where Christ has spoken those precious words, John 14, 15, and 16, the high priestly prayer. And now in that gathering, there was a need and room for a visit from Jesus. How is that in our midst? Is there a need? Is there room? How has it been in this day? Oh, it is true. In the gathering, there was a great difference because there were amongst them that could tell clearly what has happened in that day, how they have received a revelation of the word, but also a personal visit. They could tell what has went before, what has taken place with that visit, and what it left behind. Ah, for those that were diligent, early seeking the Lord, they have received the first blessing this morning. We have heard of those women. Is not here, he is risen. Remember the words which he had spoken. And Mary Magdalene, we have heard it out of this chapter, that she went to the disciples and told them, the stone was rolled away, they have taken away the Lord, we know not where we have laid them. And then we have heard the first appearance for the Lord Jesus Christ was the same as we read in Genesis 45 of Joseph. Oh, that his bowels yearned, that he has wept, a desire to tell his brothers, I am Joseph, whom thou wast sold into Egypt. Ah, then the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good and the great shepherd, who has given his life for the sheep, then such a vehement desire that he may visit those sheep that were so sad and so downcast, that he may reveal himself as the resurrected Lord. Ah, for that Mary, two questions. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And now the Lord has those Marys. Ah, they can answer, it is true. Also those tears that fall outside of the bottle, but they can tell of those tears, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Ah, that mourning concerning their sins, concerning that missing. Also those tears of joy. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? What is our answer? On this Lord's Day, we're in a special way, it is true, every Lord's Day, we remember Christ is risen indeed, that on this day, that we may still come together as a congregation, that there is still a Lord's Day that is proof that Christ is resurrected and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And have we now had a special request on this day? Oh, have there been a few Marys that have begged the Lord, Lord, may now we hear my name mentioned personally, as a Mary has experienced, that I may be given to behold thy beloved Son, pierced hands and pierced feet. Ah, there were others. The women, as we read in Matthew 28, as they returned to Jerusalem, also received a visit, and then Simon Peter, who had sent everything away, but he was given to repent. Read in Luke 22. Oh, that Jesus looked at Peter. That was a look that Peter has never forgotten. And he has wept bitterly. And then on the first day of the week when Christ was resurrected, then Simon Peter received a visit. So tender, not recorded in God's word. And two travelers to Emmaus, Jesus has also looked them up. Why are ye sad? Speaking about, they were given to unburden their heart, also what they have heard. Certain women went to the grave, others but him they saw not, and he was made known unto them in the breaking of bread. And they have hastily returned to Jerusalem, and then it was recorded, then they have spoken, that the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared unto Simon. But now there were still many that have not received the visit. Oh, yearning and begging souls. And was a mixture of faith and unbelief. That's not strange for the true child of God, how they can be plagued with unbelief, questioning whether they have true faith, whether they have any faith, because when those travelers of Emmaus have returned, then they have said the Lord is risen indeed, and a seed of seen of Simon. But in Mark 16, then we read also different testimonies concerning Mary Magdalene, that Jesus was seen of her, but they believe not. Then also concerning the two travelers, there were those that believed. Neither believed they them. And then in Mark 16, verse 14, then Jesus, we read, that they were upbraided for their unbelief, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Because then we see a mixture of faith and unbelief. And now we read in our text, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and then in the evening, then many times John speaks of the Roman calculation of time, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. What was now necessary for that church gathered in that upper room? Then they needed to be administered out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. They needed him as prophet, that they may be instructed in the things of the Lord. They needed him as king. Oh, they have experienced his mighty wonders. Said unto the sea that there must be peace, and the waves were stilled, They have witnessed the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead. But now in this evening hour, not forgotten those wonders. But the church is so dependent to be administered out of heaven. Then they needed to be administered and instructed in that kingly office that Christ as King, that he watches and cares over his people. And to be instructed concerning that priestly office was still such a mystery for them. And now they were filled with fear, but disciples, then you have to believe. Why do you not believe? Then the fear shall disappear. The disciples, they have learned it. Without him, we can do nothing. So dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit, those disciples in that gathered church, they could not bring that faith into being. Of course, we can try to imagine and hope for certain things, but that true saving faith, it is a work of the Spirit. And then for fear of the Jews, does not exclude the Romans, because rumors were being spread. And that is no small thing. When rumors are spread concerning Christians, and they are slandered, many times a people or a nation in that way is being prepared to persecute the church. That has taken oftentimes place in the history of the church. And the rumors were being spread that the disciples have stolen the body of Jesus. And then also the Romans would be found out, they would be punished. But it is specifically mentioned for fear of the Jews. So that means fear of their own people was a blessing. That under those rumors and the enmity of the Jews, that church in that upper room, that they were united. Same needs, same desires. They were under the same master. Solomon 119, verse 63. I am a companion of them that fear thee, and of them that keep my precepts. Oh, they could understand each other in their desires, in their fears. Oh, in being tossed with tempest. Because it can also be that under difficulties and persecutions, that it does not unite, but that it separates. Have experienced it, the time of COVID. Perhaps before that time, we thought if difficulties and persecution arises, then the church shall be bound close together. But we have experienced it can be so different. But now the privilege and the blessing that for the church they were united, they were together. Oh, there were those that could tell what has taken place. And the rest, no answer yet, has found relief, of course, in encouragement. Oh, when Simon Peter has come. And he says, oh, people, listen. I have now received the visit of my master, whom I have denied, betrayed, fled away, and he has given me a visit, this old church. be not too dismayed. Be not too discouraged. If Jesus is willing to give me a visit, oh, surely Peter has experienced what Paul has written in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. Oh, then surely Peter said, oh, keep courage. If Jesus, the good shepherd, is willing to give such a wandering and such a sinful sheep a visit, and we do not know the words that Jesus has spoken, but they were with mercy and compassion. It was upon the repentance of a Peter. Ah, then Peter was given to say, oh, church, be not too discouraged, then you shall also receive a visit at his time and in his way, and therefore wait upon the Lord. Oh, what promises we have in the word of God for a waiting church. And now for that church, they were given to meditate, to reflect upon everything they have experienced under the prophetical ministry, have sat for 3.5 years. They have beheld his wonders, made the confession, Peter as spokesman, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How they were given to rejoice when Jesus has come to Jerusalem. There was much misunderstanding. But now in that church, with their questions and with their riddles, then there was that love in the bottom of their heart that has bound them together and therefore gathered together. Oh, what a blessed gathering. A big difference. But yet bound together by the love shed abroad in the heart, with a hope and an expectation, it is true, was already this written in our text. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Oh, it can also be on the Lord's day that there is a people in the evening, that they can be so dismayed and so discouraged. As we have mentioned this morning, our with their desires, with their hopes, with their expectations, and more so, when the Lord grants those exercises during the week, when they are so glad, when it is Saturday night. Does that ever take place in our life? That we are glad that it is Saturday night. Of course it can be. That we may rest from our labors in the busyness of life. But the Lord has a people that is glad for another reason. And that is, that in the day of tomorrow, it is the Lord's day, where we may gather with a multitude to keep holy day, and there to hear the word of God, peace proffered, law and gospel, and with that thirsting and hungering for righteousness, the Lord is not an outer darkness for his people. But now for that church in the evening, this true, and what an encouragement that can be for a church when they hear that another soul has received a special blessing, a special visit. Sometime it can also discourage. and that there is a voice that says, it's clear that you are not a true seeker, because no answer yet is found relief, shall I as promised faithless find, but the good shepherd. He knew most perfectly the condition, the encampment, the exercises, and the desires of each one of his sheep gathered in that room on the evening of the resurrection day. What an encouragement that can be for a seeking soul, but also in the further ways concerning the way of salvation, that those sheep may experience that the sheep knows of them. Those closed doors with many fears, but now our second thought, that it was a visit in a surprising manner. The Lord's visits, they are by his appointment, at his time, at his way. And now for a church with closed doors that did not stand the risen Savior in the way. That's also an encouragement for young and old. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, with a closed heart, do not stay home from church, because that almighty and risen Savior, there is no heart with doors so locked, locked fast and tight, that the risen Savior, by his almighty Spirit, cannot open and enter those doors. There is no heart, no closed doors of a heart that can withstand the love and power of the risen Savior. When he speaks, when he commands, oh, think of a soul. He's not a worldly man. He did not grieve the church in the way of world conformity. He can write to the Philippians, blameless, but an enmity of grace and of his dear Son. Close for the gospel. And then before Damascus he was felled. And then, Lord, who art thou? And what wilt thou have me to do? Psalm 110, verse 3. A willing people in the day of his power. But also for the church. Let's never remember, never forget that unbelief is the greatest sin. Small thoughts of God robs the child of much comfort, gives the devil much advantage. That prayer of that father in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But now we read in that evening hour, came Jesus and stood in the midst. How that has taken place, our different thoughts, we leave it lie. The Lord has stood suddenly and unexpectedly in their midst. As the greater Joseph, that he may reveal himself to his living church. Because after the resurrection, Christ did not appear unto the unconverted, but unto his church. Thus a surprising Savior. Oh, undoubtedly, that were in that company has become evening, and so afraid that the day would end without receiving a visit from the Lord. Not the worst place to be. Then many sighs shall be sent up. Also in God's house. Ach, Lord, dost thou know of me? My desires and my longing, the burden of my sin, my heavenly high debt, my thirsting and hungering for thee, the living God. Ah, Lord, hast thou heard my sighs that I have begged of thee on this day for a visit, for a word, that I may be given to behold the risen Savior, that he may speak unto me as he has spoken unto Mary. Ah, Lord, shall I have to go? Shall I have to retire in this night? And still so silent, so quiet, no answer yet has found relief. Ach, Lord, hast thou not promised in thy word that thou wilt not forget the poor and the needy ones, the burdened ones, Lord? Is it not a burden that thou hast placed upon me? Hast thou not wrought wonderfully because that people, oh, the same as with that church in that upper room, they have experienced wonderful things that they cannot deny. And when we think of the church in that upper room, what marvelous things they have seen and experienced. Oh, it is true, it was so mysterious. It was so strange, so unfathomable. They have never thought that it could happen, that their master, that the Lord would allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be nailed on the cross. But what wonderful things they have seen and experienced. A 3-hour darkness and earthquake. And also in this morning of that evening, then by renewal the Lord has spoken to Jerusalem with a large earthquake. The earth is shaken. The saints have risen. And we do not read, it is written that those saints on the day of the resurrection have appeared to the church. But there is nothing written of it, of this church. Whether those saints, it is not written, it is not implied. We have to leave it lie. And then we read, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And when Jesus comes in our midst, congregation, then matters shall take place and be experienced. Ah, have we asked for it, that in this evening, as the church, that Jesus may come in our midst. What then takes place? Then there comes that godly sorrow, repentance, a forsaking of the world conformity, modesty shall not broaden it out. When Jesus comes in our midst, then false foundation shall be uncovered. when Jesus comes in our midst, then the children of God shall receive their portion each according to their needs, shall be further uncovered, shall learn that by the works of the law no flesh can be justified. Oh, then the Savior by the Spirit, then he shall be known, revealed unto his people as he has done on the day of resurrection and in our text. Then we hear of his wonderful works. Let us first sing. Psalter 318, the stanzas 4 through 7. In this the day that thou wast made, triumphantly we sing. Send now prosperity, O Lord. O Lord, salvation bring. 318, let us sing 4, 5, and 6, and if necessary, also the 7th.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ's evening visit to his church on the resurrection day, to a fearful church in a surprising manner, and now thirdly, with comforting words. What would now be the first words that Jesus would speak to his gathered church? What did they deserve? Especially those disciples. Did Jesus now say, deserters, promise breakers? Are there such promise breakers in my midst? Or have you never made promises to the Lord? Under his goodness, under trials, that you have promised to the Lord you would be spared, that it would be different. And the Lord has a people that they are sincere promises, because they know what that godly sorrow is, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the separation, and the wages is death. But we read nothing of those matters, although in Mark 16, this thought that it speaks about the same evening that he has upbraided them, that the church did not take over the testimony of those unto whom Jesus has appeared. We can read that in verse 14 of Mark 16. But now the first word to the church. Peace be unto you. Oh, what a precious word. Jesus, more willing to forgive his children of their sins than they accept that forgiveness. Oh, it is all of the Lord. It is true. The Lord is merited. He shall also apply it. But, there is a people upon the earth. Sins are so great. Their heart is so evil. Have broken their vows. Unworthy, undeserving. And then that way of salvation, without money and without price, can be for such souls that it is too great and too wonderful. But the Spirit shall grant at his time that they may and must embrace it, that the blessing becomes theirs. Peace be unto you. Oh, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, there it is written of the child that is born, son given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That old Zacharias in the song. Also, the last word of that song was peace. The angels, the fields of Ephrathah, in Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, goodwill toward men, on earth peace. Jesus, in that upper room, when he has spoken to his church after the Passover and Lord's Supper. Then in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That is anticipation upon his finished meditatorial work. And at the end of his discourse, in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And now on the evening of the resurrection, for a church, for many a soul, where that peace was so disturbed. Peace has been taken off of the earth. And our deep fallen Adam. But now when the Lord works by his Spirit, then such a soul in beginning may experience a certain peace. The Lord grants them their elims, receive a token, a word. But now it is necessary for the child to learn that that peace has a ground and a foundation. And now Christ is given to declare, peace be unto you. This evening visit is also described in Luke 24. And then we would think with those words that immediately the darkness would have been driven away and that they would have been given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. But Luke has recorded concerning that visit, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And Jesus, you deal so tenderly. Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And then Christ, we read it, and when he had so said, and that he saw that church so troubled and so perplexed and affrighted, then we read, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. In Luke, we read that he has shown unto them his hands and his feet, those scars. But John has written, also by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not bypass the experience and the gifts of the authors of the Holy Scriptures. Then John has written of his hands and of his side. And now for John, that side had a special meaning. And so the children of God, they have the same teacher, the same textbook. They shall learn the same matters. What a great sinner they are, and that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But their ways are varied. Also for the church that was gathered, that meeting of Mary, that was different than the meeting with the women. The meeting with those travelers of Emmaus was different than of Simon Peter. But all the same matters experienced. And now John, he was led very deeply because he had seen it. We read that in the former chapter in John 19 that John was witness. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And that has made such an impression upon John. That was a sight he has never forgotten, because it is recorded, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe. Thus John, that piercing of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has seen it, blood and water, then he was led deeply into that mystery and that meriting work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other disciples, Luke, he is written of the hands and of the feet. Thus then there is spoken of the wounds by the nails and the wound by the spear. Then Christ was given to reveal himself. He is spoken as prophet, entered those closed door as the risen king, and now for that gathered church. Then he was given to reveal himself in his priestly office. Oh, the church was given to behold those wounds. And we read in Luke 24, verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they understood the scriptures concerning himself. Oh, then Christ, and that is so needful for the living church of God. They know what it is to sit under him as prophet, and how sweet can be also in the house of God when their life and their heart is declared. They have made that good choice that the Lord is their king, all given to experience his care, his providential protection, tokens of his goodness. But now there is a church, as the church in that upper room, that needs a revelation of those pierced hands, those pierced feet, and that pierced side. Because therein is declared the peace for the church. Christ has merited that peace, has paid the church's debt, satisfied justice, brought about atonement, reconciliation, that peace that passeth all understanding. Concerning those scars, there are different thoughts with the divines. There are those that believe that when Christ has ascended into heaven with his glorified body, that was without the scars, his hands, his feet, and his side. Many others believe, and I agree with them, that Christ, as the exalted King, the exalted Mediator, that he has ascended into heaven with his glorified body, with those scars. Oh, was that not a badge of his honor when we have a general that has fought in a battle, and when he may bear those scars, is that not to his honor and glory? Do we not read to confirm it in Revelation 5 verse 6 that the apostle John has seen the lamb that was slain? Oh, then surely the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of his Father, as that intercessor pleading upon his blood, then he appears before his Father with those wounds which he has endured, that his church may be set free. And now for the church. Oh, what a blessed revelation it was when Christ has revealed himself in his priestly office, that he was the sacrifice for sin. Oh, then as it were, oh troubled church, tossed to and forth with tempest, then behold my hands and my feet and my side, behold my scars, behold my love, behold my willingness, that I was willing to give myself, that thou, as church, may be set free. And when he had said, he showed them unto his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. A question. What makes us glad? What makes us glad? And it is true. There are many things upon the earth that we have reason to be glad. Family circles, health, strength. Solomon has spoken much of those matters, that we may rejoice in the labor of our hands. But with that gladness, does it end there? It's a good question. Does our gladness now end with temporal blessings? Or do we need more? Do we need the Lord also with our temporal blessings? Do we need instruction? Do we need a visit? Do we need the Lord of those blessings? Do we need a son to make us glad? Ah, there is a people upon the earth. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? They can give an answer. Lord, if I would now receive a visit, like the church has received, and thou wouldst speak unto me, peace be unto you. And by an eye of faith may be given to behold the wounds, the scars of thy dear son. Lord, then I would be the happiest person upon the earth. Then I even think that maybe I would never be sad no more. Because with that blessing, then I can live and then I can die. When I may receive that peace and be reconciled, then I may have a little beginning here below of that gladness, that communion with thee. It's true. disciples still were led further, but full is full. And then, Lord, with that blessing, with the Savior being mine, then I can live, then I can die, and then at the end, thou shalt take me home into glory to be glad forever. Christ must close. Children have to go to school. We shall close. But then for the second time, then said Jesus to them again. The nominal Christendom, they do not have so much use for that again. But for the true child of God, they understand it. Peace be unto you. When we think of those words, then also in this evening hour, then we hear the same. At the beginning of the service, grace be unto you and peace. And then one for the second time. Boys and girls, when do we hear of peace the second time? The end of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, may we be given to beg much for that peace. The King still proffers peace, but it shall not be for always. The risen King, what a terrible thing it is to be an enemy, to resist the King, his word, his law. We have heard it on Good Friday, the Jewish people. They have spit upon him. They have mocked him. But oh, young and old, the King still proffers peace and pardon. Oh, beg the Lord, and oh, for the Church of God. Oh, what church that could tell what has taken place clearly, what they have experienced, oh, what Thomas was missing, would receive a blessing the following Sabbath day. May it please the King of Peace to work mightily in our midst, to work that need for that peace, that begging, that crying, that sorrow. May he reveal that peace. May he apply it, that his name may be glorified. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard a little of the wonders on that special day. How that there was a church that has been visited different ways in different places. And then also in the evening hour. And now, Lord, when there are souls that have come up to thy house with such a desire, maybe expectation, but unworthiness, and now perhaps to return to their homes, and that have to tell thee, Lord, thou hast not visited my soul. Oh, wilt thou still do it? Before the day is over, thou art that faithful covenant-keeping God, and thou shalt never forsake the work of thy hands. we may commence another week. Wilt thou remember the mothers at home with the children? Remember at work, remember on the way, remember at school. Remember those that are called to work during the night, taking care of sick, of the elderly. Remember those that labor in the emergency department. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, from sin and temptation? Wilt thou return us safely to our dwellings? Watch over us in this night and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 387, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. O Lord, my Savior, now to Thee, without a hope besides I flee. To Thee my shelter from the strife, my portion in the land of life. And what follows, 387, 4, 5, and 6. Blessing of the Lord. and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.